everyone, and thank you for joining us on another exciting episode of The Light of the Southwest here on God's Learning Channel. Holly and I are so excited to bring what I think is an important message to the body of Messiah, is protection, and one of protecting the flock, and also how do we accomplish that? So today we have some special guests. We have Angela Sanchez with Right to Bear, and we also have Brian Lovell with 6L Defensive Firearms Training. And thank you all for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
So Brian, it's been a long time. We've been actually wanting to do this show with you. And before we kind of get into it, I just wanted to say a quick prayer, and then we'll get into it. How about that?
Good.
Okay. Alvenu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, I thank you that you have given us this message, that you have a special message to tell the body of Messiah, for all of our houses of worship and all of our churches. Father, I pray that this message would not be received with fear, but with a sense of warning and preparedness for your flock. So we ask that you would please put your spirit upon our hearts, and may your words come out of our mouth today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
So yeah, Light of the Southwest. What is the Light of the Southwest? Most of you know, but we love interviewing people who have ministries, who are serving the body in different ways all over Texas and all over the world, really. We've had some really fun interviews from people from Israel, remote, and then we've had interviews here, right here in the studio, like we are today. And 6L Defensive Firearms and Right to Bear. These are two very big, what I would say, businesses, but also ministries to the body as well. You're about protecting and serving. And to protect and serve is a big mission. As a formal military person, I took an oath to protect and serve from enemies, both foreign and domestic. And it's just such a sad state that the world is today, that we have to think about how do we protect our church. Brian, tell us a little bit about 6L and yeah.
Okay, well, Eric, you and I have known each other a long time, and of course we go to the same congregation, and the way 6L got started is we started our own security team, or safety team. We can't call it security. And September 1st of 2017, the state of Texas allowed volunteer safety teams to be in place in houses of worship. So when we started the team, I started training everybody. And outside of the training the team, everyone started asking me, hey, will you train me on the side? You ought to start becoming an instructor. So I took that to heart, and I went and did all kinds of different training and instruction certification so that I could start taking this passion that I have and utilize it to bring it to others who are like-minded. And so we've been doing this now for right at 4 years with 6L, along with training our team there at Beta Derek. So that's kind of how I got started.
Yeah. So Angela, as far as, can you tell us a little bit about Right to Bear? And you are former law enforcement, is that correct?
I worked with law enforcement.
Okay.
Right to Bear is a legal defense. It's legal defense for self-defense. If you ever have to use any sort of force, any sort of deadly force, we're the company that's going to come in and protect you. I'm not just talking about firearms, okay? There's going to be plenty of times where, you may not choose to carry, or you have to use something else. We're going to cover all aspects of that.
Right.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right to Bear, we're pretty a new company. We've been around for a couple of years now. We are the fastest growing legal defense company out there. We are the most cost efficient, value centered company by far.
Right.
Really passionate about it. Absolutely love what we do. We work a lot with congregations, a lot with the churches. We come in, we'll do seminars and workshops. We train the church security teams. So we do quite a bit with the churches.
Right. It's kind of a sad day when you have to think about how do we protect our church. But, you know, we turn on the news, we look at, you know, TikTok videos and everything else. There's violence, and it's not just America. It's all over the world, and it's coming to, sadly, it comes to our schools, it comes to our churches, it comes to any large gatherings where somebody can just come in and a rogue shooter, and it gets national coverage. Can you talk about, Brian, like a little bit about the statistics that you know?
Sure. So DOJ statistics show that hate crimes have increased by over 75% since 2016. It's actually increased 11% just since 2020.
Wow. Since COVID.
Yes. Since COVID, it has increased over 11%. In 2022, there were 1,590 hate crimes against religious beliefs.
Wait, say that number one more time.
1,590 hate crimes across the United States.
Wow.
Against people of based on their religious beliefs.
That's just attacking churches.
Yes.
No matter which church.
That's right. It was over 15% of the hate crimes that happened in 2022 were against people because of their religious beliefs. And then you go and look at it to make it even worse. 51% of that was anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish. 18% of it was anti-Protestant. So, you know, you would expect, unfortunately, because of the wars that we fought and everything, you would expect it to be higher against anti-Islamic. And actually, that was fourth on the list of the anti-Semitic or the anti-Semitic type of hate crimes.
Was, wow.
But 69% of it was made up of Jewish and your Protestant Christians.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's just a staggering amount, that statistic. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it. This is just towards houses of worship. And I don't know what your church looks like. If your church has a security team, great. I know a lot of churches will hire an off-duty officer to come, but I don't know how many times I've talked or asked people about what they look like, and they go, "Well, there's a retired cop at my church, you know," but does he know that he's the security team? That's the question, right? Because sometimes we think, oh, well, so-and-so was a retired police officer, or two police officers come, but that doesn't mean that they have their head on a swivel and that they're actively going to protect the flock. And that's where, you know, your conversation and what this conversation is about. Do you have a plan?
Absolutely. You know, I was at a conference with the FBI on church security here in Midland back in April, and there were over 200 representatives from different congregations around Midland, Odessa area. And of those 200, more than half of them didn't even have a team. They were just starting to develop a team. There were a few of us there that have had teams since the 2017 when it started, but when you stop and think about it, there's over 1,000 congregations that meet in the Permian Basin, just in the Midland, Odessa area, and there were 200 representatives there, and 50% of that didn't even have a team in place.
Okay.
So, I mean, and here we are in West Texas where everybody's got a gun. I mean, that's what everybody thinks, but no, you know, you didn't even have every congregation doesn't even have a team or didn't even realize they could have a team. And so you go to looking at that and it's like, how can we better get them to understand how important it is to have this team in place? You made a comment about off-duty officers, and there are some congregations that hire either off-duty officers or hire security teams. They have their own security team that comes in. The problem with that is that some of these congregations can't afford that. When you're looking at what a security officer is paid or an off-duty law enforcement officer gets paid for security, when you have a congregation that may only have 15, 20 people that come, you know, their tithes and offerings may very well pay for the whole, just the security officer. And, you know, so they can't do that if they're having to pay for their minister.
Right.
So you go to looking at that, and it's like, this is where we want to help out to train up voluntary teams so that they can better serve their community. And like you said, it is a ministry. You know, if God calls you to do this, then you need to heed that call and you need to fulfill that obligation. So
yeah. Angela, I think of people who carry firearms, and there may be some churches out there that, you know, that aren't comfortable with that, you know, and then they're wondering, you know, what are the legal ramifications of carrying and things like that? Maybe can you talk about how Right to Bear kind of comes in and can protect the common citizen? And this doesn't always have to be in context of a church emergency. It could just be like me. I want to protect my home. I want to protect my family.
Right, absolutely. I do want to go back to the churches real quick.
Yes.
On that. Just because, you know, obviously your firearm's your last resort, right? That's your last line of defense. So people don't realize that just by forcibly removing someone, you know, how those kind of, what can happen from there? You're going to have legal actions. You can even get arrested. You can get cited. There's
Good
all
point.
Different things that can happen just on a use of force situation. It does not have to be a deadly force situation.
Good point.
Is Right to Bear going to come in and cover you on that? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it can be your hands. You can have to forcibly remove someone. Mm. They can get their feelings hurt and come back and sue you. You may be 100% justified in your actions, and you may not even have to go to court, but you can guarantee on the civil side they're going to come after you.
Mm.
With Right to Bear, we're going to cover 100% of the attorney fees, criminally and civilly. So it can be any use of force, any use of deadly force. Now, when it comes to your home, obviously you want to protect your home. We live in the great state of Texas. I know some of the viewers out there are in different states, but the great state of Texas here, we have the right. You know, we don't have to retreat. So some other states, you have to follow those laws. But if someone breaks in your home and tries to use deadly force or hurt you or your family, you have the right to protect them. Whatever you have to use, we are still going to cover you 100%. We have different options out there for the ones who live in other states, the people who live in other states and do traveling. We can cover you in all 50 states. We have that option as well. We can cover your minor children. A lot of people don't think of children in the situation. It's all about adults. Well, there may be times where a child has to do something. What if a child has to grab a bat, or if a child has whatever they need to do to protect themselves as well, they can just be as liable as you are. You know, they can be held just accountable. So we have options to protect them as well.
Yeah, thank you for highlighting those. It's not something I would think of necessarily. My mind would always go to a weapon, like, oh, I would
right.
need the legal support if I had to use that. But that's a great point. Child has to do something, use physical force. You have to forcibly remove somebody. It would make sense to have that legal support.
Absolutely. Even your vehicle could be used as a weapon. A lot
right.
of people don't realize that, but your vehicle could be used as a weapon.
I feel like there's so many different situations. I mean, is your church on public land? Is it privately owned? There's so many different things that you feel like you might want to learn some of these things.
Absolutely. And just to go along with Angela's talk there about using other things as weapons, you know, looking at some statistics, between 2000 and 2019, there were 15 active shooter incidents at houses of worship. There were 37 incidents between 2012 and 2019 that happened that were considered armed assault, but it wasn't necessarily with an active shooter. they had edge weapons or they had vehicles as well. And so you go to looking at that, it's like there were 15 active shooters, but there were 37 total incidents.
Wow.
So you go to looking at that, and that's amazing. And in that time frame, there were 80 people that lost their life and 67 injuries.
Wow.
You know?
And that was just in Texas?
No, that was nationwide.
Okay.
That was nationwide.
Oof.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, unfortunately, 44% of those attacks were caused by armed assault. And, you know, 5 of those attacks qualified as mass casualty events because of the fact that there were so many injuries and or fatalities. You know, we can look at the one down at Sutherland Springs as one of those. You know, that was one of those things that there actually was a team that was forming, and they just hadn't fully got it implemented. And yet, there 2 of their team members were gone. And so that's why it's like we have to start training everyone, not just, you know, your team needs to be there in place, but your congregants need to know what to do too in these events, you know. And so, and talking a little bit more about Sutherland Springs, 36% of the 37 incidents, 36 of those known perpetrators were 58% engaged in planning behavior that indicated their intent to carry out an attack. So, in like, for instance, Sutherland Springs.
Premeditated,
yeah. Yes. Mm. In Sutherland Springs, that guy went down there to the fall feast or fall festival that they had at their congregation and walked around and looked at it, and then he came back the following weekend, and he did the attack.
Mm. And
that one falls into the part of domestic dispute or personal, because he was there to attack his estranged wife and her family.
Wow.
But he took out his vengeance upon everyone.
At the congregation,
yeah. So
you think of the persecuted church, and we think like it's some future event when we read it in Revelation. And you're like, you know, there's this great future event where the church is going to be persecuted. And with what you're telling us, Brian, it's like, it's right now. And the numbers and the statistics are on the rise today. And it's wow, that's like a wake-up call.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you go back and you look, 75% increase since 2016.
Wow.
You know, I mean, you think about those numbers again. 75% increase in the hate crime attacks on houses of worship since 2016. Mm. Guys, that's the last 7 years. It's increased 75%. But in the last 3, it's increased 11% on its own.
Wow.
So, as you said, the persecuted church is here. And the times for us to sit back and go, God is going to protect me. Well, maybe God is putting a person in your congregation that he wants to use to protect you. You know, it's not like he didn't have people in his own temple, you know, to protect the temple.
Right. I mean, it keeps going through my mind. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen.
Watchmen.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, and so that's something I want to address. You're talking about on the walls of Jerusalem. Deuteronomy 16:18 says, you are to appoint judges and officers for all your gates. These were the guards. These were the guards for not only the temple, but the city of Jerusalem, which was God's holy city. You know, 1 Chronicles chapter 26 talks about the gatekeepers and guards of the temple. The whole entire chapter is talking about, you're appointed to be a gatekeeper and a guard for this gate. You're appointed to be a gatekeeper and a guard for this gate. So all the gates of Jerusalem had gatekeepers and guards. You know,
I think there's, of course, the stigma attached to firearms as if they're in themselves a bad thing and scary, but they're not. You know, the training, learning how to operate them responsibly can take away and eliminate all of those fears. But I'll just, as we're talking about Jerusalem, when we went to Israel, we went to Jerusalem, and there was just, you know, masses of people there during the holiday that we went. And we had heard all the reports on the news ahead of time. I mean, our news is great about telling you how dangerous a place is. But we go there, and there was such a beautiful sense of peace and safety. Mm. But something notable is the IDF was everywhere.
Yeah, right.
With their big firearms, and it was really incredible because just their presence alone, it didn't scare me. It gave me a sense of comfort to know they're looking out for me. I can be here. I'm safe. And it was really neat to see.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And you know, you brought up something that I've had people ask me all the time. Is it biblical to carry a weapon or a firearm? Mm-hmm. You know, and I always go back to this verse in Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 36. Yeshua is talking to his disciples and he says, but now, if you have a wallet or a pack, take it. And if you don't have a sword, sell your robe and buy one. Mm. I mean, he knew his time on earth was coming to an end and he was going back to be with the Father. And he knew that his disciples were going out into the land and were going to be persecuted and going to have to defend themselves. And he's like, you can get a robe later to survive in the cold, but you need to have that sword. Mm. Well, we don't carry swords around as much anymore, but we have people that are LTC, or licensed to carry holders, or carry constitutional carry or permitless carry. So in modern society, our handguns are our swords. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it is completely biblical to carry that weapon, you know? And the same thing holds true that it's completely biblical to carry in your congregation, because if God appointed gatekeepers and guards
for the temple,
then, right. And our houses of worship are supposed to be a representation of that, why would it not be the same to have your own guards protecting your congregation and your flock?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing a story about how an active shooter went into a church and they specifically waited for the congregation to get to that prayer time. And everyone typically will close their eyes, bow their head. And in that moment is when this very cowardly shooter decided to, you know, pull their weapon and ensue the damage that they did when everybody was in this quiet prayer time. And it is comforting to me when we pray, knowing that Brian and his team are watching as we are in our place of worship. When my eyes are closed, I know that there's at least, you know, five or six other people in different angles that are protecting us. If you're in a congregation and you're just like, if you're listening to this message and you feel like this is one of your callings, that you're to protect your house, please reach out to Brian, reach out to Angela, and their information is going to be throughout this show shown to you. But you go out and you help audit maybe some of the weak points on premise. You all will teach them legally what they can and maybe can't do as far as use of force and when to use force and when not to. And tell them a little bit about what.
Yeah, so from 6L standpoint, we'd love to go to different congregations and help them to start their own team. You know, we're not a security company, so we don't hire out to protect another congregation, but we will go out and help to get a team set up. We will go do different kinds of training there, not just firearms related training. That's something that I really want to talk about before I'm going to digress just a minute, Eric.
No.
But part of our team at our congregation, number one, you can't call it a security team, because when state law allowed for a volunteer team, the Texas Board of Security said, we don't mind having a team as long as they don't call it security, because that's what our security officers get paid for. Mm-hmm. They can be a safety team made up of licensed to carry holders, but they can't be called a security team. Mm. Well, personally, I liked that perspective because we are about safety, but not just about from an active incident. Not just an active shooter, but medical emergencies, fire emergencies, weather.
Mm. Good point.
There's a lot of things that our team is trained up on. And there's a lot of things that 6L trains people on too. We can train you on trauma medicine, which, you know, that is something that, God forbid, an incident ever occurs. You know, they call it the critical 3 minutes, because in most situations it takes 3 minutes for any kind of a first responder to respond to a 911 call. So between the time that the call is made and the first responders make it, be it law enforcement or your EMS, it is your duty and your responsibility to keep everyone alive. Mm. And so if you think about it, if you're not trained to protect, to stop someone from bleeding, then there's the chance in that critical 3 minutes that life may be lost. You know, so one of the things that anyone that comes through my class, I tell them is, if you're going to carry a firearm, if you're going to know how to stop a threat, you're going to know how to save a threat.
That's because, so smart.
You know, I mean, we most of my team carries tourniquets on them at all times. And it may be that, Hashem forbid, you're ever in that situation. It may not be you that you need to use a tourniquet on. It may be a bystander. It actually may be that you have to, once the threat is over, that person that you have had to engage, they're no longer a threat. Now it becomes your role, if you would, to try to heal them, to save them. Because, you know, that's what God wants us to do first and foremost. He doesn't want us to end a life. He wants to save a life.
Amen.
Wow.
So if we're trying to stop a threat, we're not trying to ever take someone's life.
Yep.
We're trying to stop a threat. And even law enforcement looks at it the same way. Is you know, I've seen lots of, I'm good friends with lots of law enforcement. I've seen lots of law enforcement officers carrying tourniquets, and they're like, yeah, we've had to use it to save someone else's life more than we've had to use it on ourselves, to save our own people's lives. And so that's something to think about. But as a safety team, you want to be well-versed in all aspects of safety. You know, we've had as many incidents in our congregation to where we've had to do medical emergency safety. We've dealt with that several times. By the grace of Hashem, we have never had to deal with an active event. You know, I'm so grateful for that. But if the team was not trained up to handle the medical emergencies, I don't know that we could say that a couple of people would have actually still been here today. You know, because it was by the quick response of the team that helped to get not only the first responders there, but helped to keep things coordinated until they got there. So
all of your members have some sort of a insurance too that helps them in case of there's ever any sort of incident. This is a question for Angela. Angela, like, if somebody has right to bear, I'm wondering, like, does what Brian was mentioning is like, hey, there's a medical something, and you're covered under maybe Good Samaritan laws. You're trying to help save somebody, right? And it maybe has nothing to do with an active shooter. Maybe it's just somebody's, you know, fell and hurt themselves, you're trying to help. Does the insurance on that level for like Good Samaritan laws, does that kind of come in and protect you, or can you use the whatever? I have no idea.
Well, actually, Texas is not a Good Samaritan state.
Okay.
You're not required to render aid in the state of Texas.
Okay, not required.
Like he said, there's a difference, right? There's a difference in it. Whether you choose to, it's your moral compass. In the state of Texas, you're not required to.
Okay.
But as far as trying to save someone, you can actually end up hurting them more. Because if you're not knowing how to properly, like you talked about training, chest seals, packing wounds, proper tourniquet use, people normally just put it wherever. There's certain spaces, you know, places that you need to adjust and put that and so forth. A lot of people don't know that. Technically, right to bear is a legal defense for self-defense. So when it comes to that aspect, because we are a true association, we are not an insurance company.
Okay.
We only cover uses of self-defense.
Okay.
Whether it's, like I said, someone breaking in your home, whether someone at the church, whether you're protecting yourself or anyone else. It's not just about you. You can be protecting your neighbor. You can be protecting your entire congregation. We'll cover you on those incidences.
And is that only licensed LTC carriers, or
absolutely
can you be constitutional
not
LTC? It doesn't matter as long as you have signed up and you...
Correct. It does not matter. You're not required to have a license with us. Absolutely not. There's people who choose not to. I still strongly recommend everyone having a license to carry. There's more places you can carry. Mm-hmm. It helps you on the legal side. A lot of people don't think it does, but it actually does.
Yeah.
When you get pulled over by law enforcement, there's all different things that it's better to have your license to carry instead of constitutional carry. With that, people do not know the laws when they constitutional carry. When you're going through your LTC class, you actually learn the laws.
Yep.
You go through it. Come to a right to bear seminar where we'll bring law enforcement in. We go over active shooter training, or we bring one of our attorneys in. And we'll go over the whole aspect of what you can and can't do. But as far as, like, now I completely lost my train of thought, so we'll edit that one. I completely lost my train of thought of where I was, what we were talking about.
Oh, as far as the medical aspect, it's not necessary, but for LTC...
Oh, right, for the LTC holders. You're not required to have your license to carry, of course. But we will cover anyone. There's a lot of people who don't feel like they need their license. I hear it all the time. Oh, I got a backhoe. I can just bury them. Or you will get that. Oh, we'll get all kinds of stuff. You would be surprised.
No.
Obviously, please don't do that anymore. But we get all kinds of crazy things. People don't feel like it. Oh, I grew up with guns, or I grew up with this. I don't need to have this. I don't need to have that. Well, ultimately, you're still going to pay the price. You still have to go through the legal wickeds. You still have to answer to him.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Mm-hmm. Right? So... Mm-hmm. We cover anyone, especially even with women. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some women who choose, oh, I don't want to carry. I'm too scared to carry. I'm a firearms instructor as well. I've been a firearms instructor now a little over 15 years.
Mm.
And I specialize in that. I do a lot of women's training. So nice. I'll do, you know, from basic pistol, from the beginning. I'll even go to gun shows to help them find their holsters the right way. I'll take them to the range. I strongly recommend everyone getting their firearms, renting out firearms, what works best for them. Just don't go by your spouse and say, okay, well, you need to carry, you know, Colt 45 and you'll be fine. And,
oh, right.
And that happens a lot,
yes,
you know. So we do, like he said, you know, even with 6L training, that is great. Training is top notch. You've got to do that training. But any use of force situation, we're going to cover you. One of the main things, too, is after an incident, what do you do? Right?
Exactly.
That brings up a question. Your adrenaline's going, your heart rate's up to 180 beats, 200 beats per minute. You can't think straight. You lose some of your fine motor skills. What do you do in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
When you call 911, a lot of people will try to tell them everything, right? It needs to be short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Short and sweet. Who, what, when, why, where. Short and sweet. Because there's some things that can be admissible in court. You don't want to do that. With right to bear, we have a 24/7 answered emergency hotline number. When you call that number, it's actual answered by an actual attorney, advise you on what to do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. Better yet, what to say, what not to say. Okay, that's really important because words and verbs are really important. And your adrenaline's going and you're scared, right? So even if you can have a family member call for you, absolutely do that.
Mm-hmm.
But our attorney hotline is attorney-client privilege. None of that's admissible in court. So that is huge.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there are other companies out there that will have crisis networks and so forth like that. Well, that can be used against you. So you get that privilege.
Mm.
You know, that's one of your number one benefits with us. And then, of course, we cover all the attorney fees, criminally and civilly. Just because you're 100% justified in your actions on the criminal side, mm-hmm, when they come back on the civil side, and it could be a year from then. It doesn't, I mean, if anyone's dealt with any sort of gun cases or any sort of aggravated assault cases, they can last years.
Yeah.
Years. You know, for example, the in El Paso, the Walmart shooter that happened August 3rd of 2019. He's just now getting through the court system. Mm-hmm. This is 2023.
Wow.
So they can take a long time. Mm. It can take a long time.
Yeah, it's, I know in an incident, like just any physical conflict or anything, when adrenaline's involved, we get this tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all of you have experienced this on some level. We sort of miss a lot of details and because we're just so focused on what's going on. But like, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, an hour, 2 hours after the incident, some of the details come flooding back that you sort of didn't really remember at the moment. Like you said, what do we say right afterwards? Right. And then no matter if you're right or wrong, you're most likely going to go to jail.
Absolutely.
There's going to be an investigation, and you can be completely 100% justified, but you still are going to go through the system, and are you prepared financially for that?
It's scary.
Yeah.
Because people were like, oh, well, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to jail. I'm scared. You have to remember that just because you're found guilty just because you've been arrested does not mean you're found guilty of anything.
Right.
You still have to go through the legal wickets. Mm-hmm. You're innocent until proven guilty, bottom line. Huh. And we're going to walk that whole way through you. We're going to be there the entire time with you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and it's like you and I talked about, too, one of the awesome things that Right to Bear has that a lot of other ones don't, and this may sound funny, but from firearms instructors and people that are around your firearms all the time, you go to thinking about it. What's going to happen if you use that firearm? It's actually going to get taken away
from
you because it's going to become part of the evidence. It's going to be a chain of evidence until your case. And so you're talking about the El Paso shooter. Here it is 4 years later, and he's just now going to trial. Well, that means that any firearms he used in that case have been tied up in a chain of evidence for 4 years. Well, I know a lot of first-time students that I have come through my class, they're fortunate enough to buy one firearm.
Right.
And they may or may not have the financial ability to go and buy another one if they're struggling with, now they have a court case. Mm. This is the cool thing that Angela and I were talking about. Right to Bear will help you to get a firearm while yours is in that whole line of chain of evidence.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's significant.
Yes, we are going to give you a firearm of equal value.
Wow.
And that's nothing that you ever give back. Mm-hmm. You keep that. We don't want to leave anyone defenseless because, mm-hmm. like he said, not everyone owns multiple guns. You may only own one, some people have quite a bit, but, you know, we don't want to leave you defenseless.
No.
Right. So we go, we'll give you a gun at equal value.
Mm-hmm. And that's just really awesome, because it just shows how much y'all care about everyone that's part of your organization.
And I wanted to say one more thing on that. Something that we also cover, which a lot of people don't realize, the psychological support.
Wow.
When you go through something traumatic, like you were talking about with your tunnel vision,
mm-hmm.
you also get auditory exclusion. You stop hearing things around you. You get excited utterance. Mm-hmm. There's all these little fine motor skills, but what happens afterwards? You talked about how your time lapses, right? What does law enforcement do? 48 to 72 hours before they can give their statement.
Yep.
The reason why is because they did a study back in the 80s, and that's how long it takes for your brain to register what happened.
Yep.
So even in a car accident, you could go through PTSD in a car accident. Uh-huh. You had a traumatic car accident, and they want your insurance, and everyone wants a statement, and they want to know what exactly happened. 2 or 3 days later, you're like, oh my goodness, no, wait, it happened also like this, or you missed a couple little things. And then mentally, what are you going to do mentally? Obviously, if you got a good church team and so forth like that, if your place of worship. But what we're going to do is Right to Bear is going to cover your psychological support.
Wow.
So you're going to be covered. And this is included in your core membership. You're going to have 40 sessions of psychological support that we cover for you.
Wow.
Because a lot of people don't realize that you're going to need that.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids. Mm. What if they see that?
Right.
What if they have to do it themselves?
Right.
Mm. We're going to cover that psychological support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. That's a big thing. Anybody that's ever been around anything that would cause PTSD, if you don't have the psychological support, it it takes forever to heal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, it really does. So
how many of our veterans don't get that kind of support
from the VA, right?
From the VA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. It's true. Absolutely. It's sad. It's true.
It is.
So, yeah, I mean, as a mom with children, I have become recently even more aware of the need for responsible firearm, just being responsible with them in the home to protect my children. As much as I want to keep them safe from God forbid, an invader, I also want to keep them safe from access to those weapons
right.
that they don't quite know how to handle. And I was thinking about that, you know, scripturally, I'm just going to go a little spiritual here with this, that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And how often have we unintentionally used the word of God and hurt someone with it because we weren't being responsible with how we divided the word, how we applied it to that situation. So I think this whole picture, whether it's physically, how are we taking care of our weapons? Are we trained? Do we know how to use them responsibly? The goal is not to hurt someone else. It's to protect. And I think this applies to the word of God. Are we using it, you know, just irresponsibly? Are we hurting people with it? So that's just food for thought. But I appreciate the training that you offer to help us think about all of those things and know what to do with firearms in the home, learn how to take care of them, and be responsible. So.
What? I agree with you, and I appreciate that. And you know, Holly, one thing that I think about too, the scripture that comes to me, and it says, train up the child in the way that it'll go so he won't depart from that in the old age. Well, I mean, if you think about it, that goes not only from the Bible, from biblical, but it also goes from firearms. If you train them in your home too, that the how to responsibly handle them, then there's less likelihood that they're going to misuse that firearm because they fully understand and fully grasp the gravity of what that particular piece of equipment can do.
Mm-hmm. So you know, could a whole family take the class?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we've done that. And you know, I mean, I started teaching my children at a young age what they could and couldn't do, and what the firearm is capable of doing, so that they respect it more. Mm-hmm. Just like absolutely. We teach them how to respect the Word of God, mm-hmm. and so that way that I know of too many people that they hide their firearms from their kids, and so now it's become a temptation and a curiosity.
Mm.
And so because of the fact that they think that, oh, well, if mom and dad don't want me to look at it, I need to go find it and see what it's all about.
Interesting.
You know, true. I do the same thing. I raised four daughters, and I've got seven grandbabies now. But my four daughters, they all started shooting by the time they were five.
Wow.
So my household was a little bit different. We started really early, but we even started with letting them out the range, hearing it, you know, getting all that curiosity out, because just like he said, you know, I always say curiosity killed a cat, but they'll go after it. And fortunately, if the kids aren't trained, I'm a true believer, if you are going to have firearms in your home, everyone in your home needs to be trained.
Yeah.
Just like you have stand down training in your home. What happens if this happens? Like you're talking about fires and water is just not just at your congregation, you have to have that at home as well.
Yep.
What are all these things that are all these what if scenarios?
Mm-hmm.
Do all the training for all that.
Yeah,
you were talking about studies earlier, and there was a study done back in the late 90s. They put kids in a room and they gave them a firearm and disabled firearm, okay? Mm-hmm. And the kids that had grown up in a home where they were trained not to handle them, they would leave the firearm in like a drawer or something, and there was no way the firearm could do anything, okay? It looked and felt the same as a live firearm, but it was inert. And the kids as young as 5 and 6 were in there, and the kids that had been raised in the home where they understood the ramifications of touching one, how dangerous they could be, they would go to the other kids and go, no, no, don't touch those. We need to go find an adult. And the kids that their families chose to hide them from them, they were the ones going over there. Come here, come look at this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so these kids were literally didn't know that they were on camera and were being videoed. And the ones that were trained were keeping the others safe because they knew that it wasn't for them to play with.
So, I mean, having them locked up is a good thing, but also having your family trained on the implications and how to handle those responsibly.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are certain places in the home that you want to have one
absolutely
secure, but yet quickly accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, I mean, because when an incident happens, it takes seconds for it to happen. So if you have to go through a 30-second time span of spinning a dial on a gun safe to get your firearm out, as Angela was saying, your fine motor skills are starting to diminish. You already have a higher heart rate. Mm. Part of the class that I teach, we put a locked gun safe that has a combination on it, and tell them the combination, and then tell them, you know, shoot, and get their adrenaline pumped, and they have to unlock it, then they have to load the weapon, and that could take as much as 30 seconds sometimes. And in that time frame, if someone's trying to break down your door, God forbid, you may not even got access to that weapon because of that. But the great thing now, there are so many companies out there that have biometric safes and safes that you use just, it's a keypad that you have a 4-digit combination on. That means you have quick access to that. And that's one of the cool things that we started at 6L is we started having a lot of people reaching out to us, wanting us to test their products out or support their products. And so we have an affiliate page of different things like that, from holsters to ammunition manufacturers to gun safes and things of that nature, so that we can actually, you know, if it's on our website, it's something that we represent. It's something that we recommend. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's if you look at our website right now, you'll see Right to Bear all over it. So,
well, that's good to know. I mean, you hit it right on the nail, and especially at home and having it accessible. Some people don't realize, well, it depends on the size of your house. How is your house shaped?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you have one by your back door? Do you have one by your front door? Little things like that. What's most accessible? How do most criminals come in? Mm-hmm. If you use the garage door, you know, having them stationed around the house with those type of safes, it's just something I strongly recommend as well.
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Talking about the kids, like what Holly was talking about, it just makes me think, you know, we see the rise in houses of worship violence, but we also see the rise of violent video games to our children, where first-person shooter games is very common, you know, and it's all a game. And a lot of times, these shooters that are coming in are young, and they're not, not to say that they're not, but I guess I don't see like a Vietnam vet who's disgruntled running in more so than I would see, you know, like a kid who has, a broken home.
Right.
That's so upsetting.
Well, and you know, a lot of times, Eric, I agree with you, what you're saying. A lot of times things get missed too. And it's like, for example, Parkland, the shooting at Parkland High School in Florida. One of the FBI agents that was at that seminar that I went to back in April, he was actually stationed in Florida at the time of the Parkland shooting. So this is near and dear to his knowledge, because his children actually went to the junior high school not a half mile away from that high school.
Okay.
And he and I had a great talk, and he said at least 30 people had knowledge of that shooter's troubling behavior beforehand. Mm. Wow. And they did not report it, or they didn't act on the information. There were six people who stated they brought concerns about the assailant and his behavior, including discussions about him being a school shooter, to the assistant principal, and nothing was done.
Wow.
So, you know, this is something to where if you see it, you own it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we need to really start looking at it from a perspective of, if we catch troubling behavior, and this is part of what we train our team, is if we see a behavior that seems troubling, we need to monitor that. And not in a way of, man, I don't trust you, and just be towering over them, but monitor it and try to be as, you know, as the word says, be as gentle as a dove, but as cunning as a serpent. You know, I mean, so we're trying to be able to monitor that behavior. I mean, the young man's Instagram post said, I want to shoot people with my rifle. I want to die fighting and killing lots of people.
Wow.
This is what he was posting on Instagram, and nothing was brought to the authorities beforehand.
Yeah.
So it goes back to, like you said, a troubled home. And it also goes back to not teaching up a child in the way they should go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Well, if you're listening to this program and you are inspired to inquire your pastor, your church leader on what your program is, if you need help putting that program together, if you want to protect yourself in your home and get some sort of backing from like Right to Bear, that no matter what happens, somebody's in your corner and you don't feel alone.
Absolutely.
Then I really encourage you, reach out to Brian Lovell at 6L Defensive Firearms, Angela Sanchez with Right to Bear, and their information is, I'm sure, been flashed before you. Please write that down. If we can show it again, please do, and make sure that we get this information out.
And we have a promo code for you.
Yes, tell us about
Absolutely.
The promo code.
Absolutely. So if you go online to protectwhatbear.com, and if you choose to sign up with us at checkout, please write this down, 6L...
DFT.
DFT.
Yeah.
DFT. 6LDFT. You'll get 2 months free on your annual memberships. That's a special that we're running with 6L Firearms right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it's been a different topic for Eric and I to address, and I'm really thankful for you, Miss Angela, and you, Mr. Brian, walking through this with us and sharing this information. I believe what the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear, and love can include this protecting, the protective nature, and learning how to protect ourselves is part of the whole process. So we don't have to be afraid of firearms. We don't have to be afraid of a potential situation. We can have some training to help empower us. But above all, the peace that passes understanding, that God is our defense, but he does give us practical means of defense. And I'm thankful for this information that y'all have shared with us today. And I pray that it inspires and encourages our viewers and gives them more peace. So,
yeah, absolutely. Brian, thank you for your time. Thank you for the way you serve our community. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for how you inspire others to also do the same. Angela, you came all the way from... You've had one heck of a day to get here to the studio. Thank you for...
Through rain and everything.
Yeah, through the rain, driving, and you still have quite a drive home. Thank you for coming and sharing your message. And all of you who are who have watched this, you've enjoyed what you saw, please like and subscribe, hit the share button, and you support us. If you want to see more programs like this, please kind of put in our comment section what you enjoyed, and if you have questions for Brian or Angela, please put it in our chat when you watch this on YouTube. We will be monitoring those things, and we'd love to get back to our audience and share more. So thank you so much, and we hope that we see you again soon on The Light of the Southwest. Y'all have a blessed one.
Shalom. Thank you.